I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
In this era of fast, disposable fashion, is the price tag on a garment a good indicator of its quality? Maybe yes. Maybe no. I'm joined by Laura Jordan, image and brand consultant, owner of Style Savvy. Laura, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
So pay more, you get better. Mm. True or not?
Not true. And it's really interesting to see this explored in an official way by the University of Leeds Technology of Textiles and Colour. And it has been created in a article format by Dee Duffy and Katrina Flynn of TU Dublin. It's really looking at the fact of the label not meaning the same thing as the logo. So looking at label rather than looking at brand is crucially important when we are trying to decipher the quality of product.
So if you see a well-known high-end brand, the logo is high-end, it doesn't necessarily mean that the quality is there. Now, it may be counterproductive for a high-end brand to sell stuff that's shoddy because they will lose market share and they will lose their high-end feeling. But you're saying, look at what the textile label says.
Absolutely. And when we talk about luxury brands, for the most part, we're talking about prestige rather than quality. Because if we use an example of handbags, which I know is different to clothing, but it's easier to see this this theory come through here. A leather handbag cannot actually cost more than 50 or 60 euro to make if you have an artisan working on it by hand, potentially more. But when we see the price point of a luxury bag hitting into the four figures, the margin there that we're looking at is to account for their premium real estate for where the store is located, their really expensive marketing budgets, their brand ambassadors influencing, etc. So you're looking at more than the cost of the value, or the value, shall we say, of the quality and the materials that's gone into the product, and more the keeping the prestige of the brand and keeping the strength of the of it within fashion and luxury.
So therefore, if I'm looking for quality and durability and so on, I must look not at the logo, I must look at the label.
Absolutely.
What am I looking for?
You're looking for typically natural fabrics and fibres rather than man-made ones. So anywhere you see a poly blend or a label or a word you don't recognise, it's quite likely that there are man-made fibres in it. A lot of brands have added man-made fibres into their garments because the natural fabrics, they're a commodity, their cost price does fluctuate. We see it with gold and silver this week causing havoc.
Sometimes
for
practically, for example, if I bought a jacket that was linen, I'd be crumpled all day.
Exactly.
And maybe that's a look that people like. But to be practical, a linen mix might be better for me.
Absolutely. Linen and cotton would give you a little bit more structure in the fabric. What we see is silk, linen is another great example. And other what we call delicate fabrics do require a little bit of extra care. And you have to decide if you're willing to put that in to the products that you purchase. They may take dry cleaning, hand washing, etc. And the reason poly blends have become popular is not just because their cost price is controlled and typically lower and they can be mass produced a little bit more easily, but also because the care and time it takes to wash and look after these products reduces also.
Now, in terms of the actual manufacture of the garment, and we know a lot of this stuff is certainly the cutting of garments is laser cut and so on, so it's automated. But the stitching together of garments, there are still factories all over Asia predominantly, but still in Eastern Europe and some in Western Europe, where there are people at sewing machines putting stuff together.
Absolutely. And when we look at phrases such as hand-finished or handmade, again, there can be a little bit of what we'd see as greenwashing in the sustainable side of things, in that maybe a hand has touched it, maybe the last logo has been added to it. So we're really looking at what is said about the garment versus what we see in reality of it. Now, that is difficult when you're shopping online. In person, you can assess the seams, you can look at the stitching, you can see if there's loose threads, and you can get quite literally a feel for the fabric. Whereas for online purchasing, thing, it's harder. And what I always advise is look at the fabric makeup rather than the description of the product. The description will sometimes say high quality, luxury. That's a red flag if you have to tell me it is. Okay. It often doesn't mean that the materials actually reflect that when you look down at the description of them.
What do the care requirements tell you about the quality of the garment?
Care requirements typically tell you that it is using natural fabric. So natural fabrics last longer in theory. So they are going to get better with age is the phrase, whereas your poly blends can be trickier.
Mind that you, if only, you put wool into the wrong temperature wash.
I was just about to caveat by saying it's only if you look after the garments effectively, and that takes quite a lot of research time and care. Something like cashmere is a great example, or wool, as you mentioned. These items will not wear well if you don't care for them in a very specific way. And a lot of clients of mine and people generally will say, I'm not going to spend, you know, €200-€300 on a jumper if it's going to come out in a ball, in the same way I could spend €50-€60 on it and maybe it lasts a little bit longer due to the poly blends in it. So there is a certain amount of personal preference in it. Also to note that man-made fabrics are more breathable. So linen, as you mentioned, wool, they tend to be better for people who want to be able to regulate temperature a little bit.
How much of the price are you paying for design, for example?
I would say 80% plus of the price would be purely for the design piece on a luxury piece. It would be the margin of the label. For the design of the piece, that's usually done one prototype and then mass marketed as needed. And as you said, it's laser cut and it's all put into a computer programming piece. Absolutely.
So the question of the design is really about the logo and all of that. It comes with the prestige of knowing that it's designed by somebody. But of course, it will be copied.
This is it. And we see this really interestingly in luxury because we have fashion shows, which will begin in about 2 weeks' time, which will show garments that will be available for purchase from September or so onwards. The issue being that because of the internet, the fast fashion brands, many of which are on the high street, will see these designs and will get them into stores within 8 to 12 weeks. Zara, for example, has the quickest or the smallest lead time for product because they manufacture in Spain, in Europe.
So now, have they ever been stopped from copying? I mean, they never copy exactly because you know, they can vary a small detail. It could be the buttons, the belt, whatever it might be, just slightly. So you get the look that you see in Vogue, but not the price.
Absolutely. And the law around this is a little bit grey because clothes are seen as functional items. Therefore, they're not protected by copyright. Something like a handbag must have 7 visible differences. The differences can be internal or external to the handbag. With clothing, it's a little bit more fluid. It makes it hard for designers and indeed young designers who are looking to get their new and dynamic designs out into the market to get them, you know, purchased at full price rather than copied by fast fashion brands.
Now, when you look at the overheads, I mean, you'd imagine that if I'm selling trainers, for example, online, I don't have to have a high street store, particularly, I suppose, if I'm doing a lot of international advertising or marketing, you don't need the store. How does that impact on the price and the quality?
Direct to consumer, which is the model you're describing, it typically allows the pricing to be more competitive. It also removes elements of the supply chain, which slows down the entire process. But what we see in the efficacy of that is high levels of returns, particularly in something like shoes, which may not fit as you hope they do, or
but
clothing.
Shoes probably don't get discarded because they're made of tougher stuff. So even if you have stinky feet and you try them on and they go back, they probably will be resold in some shape or form. However, shirts, T-shirts, all of that, they get junk, don't they?
They do for the most part. We don't have as much data on this as we would like to have because understandably journalists or camera crews are not allowed into factories or indeed into warehouses and distribution centres who manage returns. But it is widely believed that a lot of product, it costs too much in terms of man hours because that is one of the more expensive elements of the supply chain process to have these products put back into inventory, for example, and then be accounted for reselling.
And what about sustainability? When you look at that label, you want to find out how that cotton was grown or how the sheep were treated when the wool.
Absolutely. You know. So we're looking at that. Kai manufacturing is one of the most important elements for a lot of customers, and it's lovely to see that coming to the fore now. Again, we are going by the word of the manufacturer, and we see some organisations have their B Corp and other badges, which show a certain amount of responsibility within their manufacturing, but a lot of the time, it's a little bit of cloak and dagger. We can't be certain in terms of how things actually happen.
But your fundamental message is read the label, not the logo.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it comes down to. And be careful when you're washing that you do what the fabric wants it to do and not what you think you might like to do with it instead.
Laura Jordan, image and brand consultant, owner of Style Savvy. Laura, thank you very much. We'll have news next.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.